in order to get something they want in a goal-oriented fashion. Finally, they need to understand the full power of their voices as a way of achieving a variety of goals. Although we deal in depth with developing verbal communication in Chapter 13, here we focus on parents' use of imitation to achieve three things. 1. To help children notice their own vocalizations. 2. To increase the frequency of the sounds they are making. And 3. To increase their intentional production of sounds and specific vocalizations. Activity. Increase your child's sounds by echoing them. You may hear your child vocalizing, sometimes in response to something that has happened, and sometimes out of nowhere. Even if you're not sure what a sound means, imitating your child's sounds conveys to the child that you have heard him and that his vocalizations are meaningful and important. You're saying, "I heard you," to your child and assigning importance and meaning to the sound with your actions. Begin by positioning yourself so your child can see your face. Then imitate whatever vowel or consonant sounds or other sound effects your child emits, except for crying, screams, or whining, while playing with his voice. Now wait to see if your child makes the sound again. If he does, you now have the opportunity to imitate him again. With this back-and-forth interchange, you've created an imitation game. If he doesn't make the sound in return, try again, waiting expectantly. Eventually, your child will repeat his sounds after your imitation. Developing some vocal imitation games is worth your persistence, since it's a critical step on the road to speech development. Activity. Sing songs and play rhyming word and finger games. Singing songs and highlighting a key word or phrase in each verse helps your child start to hear the pattern and the important parts of the song. You might sing or say that target word or phrase a little louder or even slower to help your child attend to its meaning. Add gestures and facial expressions to mark the targets. After singing the song verse in its entirety over a few days, so your child begins to recognize it, start to make a little space in the song for your child to join in. Come to the target word or phrase in the song and then wait, looking expectantly at your child to cue the target. Your child might start to put in the missing word by making a sound. If so, great. When you hear it, continue the song. Or instead, when you pause, your child might make a small gesture, wiggle her body, give you a quick look, or provide some other cue that shows she wants to participate. If she does this, add the word after your child's cue and continue the song. This skill marks a milestone in speech development, and it is a very important type of activity for fostering verbal imitation. Develop a whole repertoire of songs, chants, and finger plays with your child. For example, you could sing a song like "The Wheels on the Bus," emphasizing a key phrase. "The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round," of course with the accompanying hand actions. "The wheels on the bus go round and round all through the town." Round and round is your target phrase. After singing the song a time or two, this time you would sing, "The wheels on the bus go," pause, and wait expectantly for your child to make a sound or at least some kind of nonverbal cue. Once he does, quickly and happily continue the song, singing, "Round and round, all through the town. Summary of step one. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have developed a new habit, that of imitating your pre-verbal child's sounds, and you and your child will be making progress in developing some vocal imitation games. These activities serve as a starting place for increasing your child's vocal imitation skills, and we will develop the next steps in a later chapter. For now, see if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for teaching imitation, knowledge that you will use in step two. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist: Imitating Sounds. I pay attention to my child's sounds. I imitate my child's sounds back to him or her when I hear them. I have a repertoire of songs, finger plays, and other language activities that my child enjoys. I know when to pause and wait in these games for my child to cue me or vocalize to continue the game. Claire, age 3, has autism and occasionally makes sounds, although these are not directed to her parents. Her parents describe the sounds as more like exhales, for example, ha, then like attempts to communicate a word, and they haven't been sure how to respond to them. During one of Claire's favorite activities, making shapes out of Play-Doh, her dad begins to name the cookie-cutter shapes and describe the actions as he makes animals out of Play-Doh. He also adds sounds to the animals as he shows them to Claire. Look, Claire, a doggy. Doggy says, woof, woof. Or bird goes, tweet, tweet. After repeating this theme a few times, Claire's dad pauses as he holds up the next animal and waits for Claire to imitate the sound. She doesn't, but that's okay, and Dad continues the activity anyway. But then, as Claire is looking down at the table and picking up the animal she's just made, she makes the exhaled sound. Dad remembers what he has read in this chapter and imitates the sound right back. After a few seconds, Claire's dad repeats the sound again, but this time makes it a little deeper. Claire looks up and smiles slightly. Dad repeats the sound, exaggerating it even more. Claire's smile widens. Now Dad asks Claire, "Again?" And when she looks at him intently, he makes the sound again. This time he says to Claire, "You do it," and models the sound again. Claire opens her mouth slightly, but no sound comes out. Dad fills in the sound, and Claire continues to smile. Dad goes back to the Play-Doh activity and holds up the dog, making it say, "Woof, woof," again. As Claire reaches to take the dog from Dad, she makes the exhaled sound. It doesn't matter that she didn't look at Dad while making the sound. Her father imitates her sound, and she repeats it. He imitates it again, and she repeats it again. Vocal turn-taking. He is delighted and imitates her sound, and then has the dog go, "Woof, woof," which she loves. Malik is a 26-month-old boy with autism who does not make sounds or speak and seems to drool constantly. His mother says he doesn't seem particularly interested in toys and prefers to suck or chew on them rather than engaging in play. She's not sure where to start in teaching vocal imitation to Malik, given his lack of interest in toys and his very limited speech and communication skills. After reviewing the Step 1 activity checklist, Malik's mother reads about the use of silly mouth games to stimulate motor movement and elicit sounds. She decides to try this, since toys or objects may not work with Malik right away. She sits Malik in his chair and sits in front of him to ensure good face-to-face positioning. She starts a game by saying, "Ooh-ah," while patting her mouth. Malik watches with curiosity, but he does not reach out. She makes the sound again on her own mouth and then pats Malik's mouth. He doesn't make the sound, but he does open his mouth slightly to stick out his tongue. She makes the sound for him as she pats his mouth and then goes back to her mouth, exaggerating the pitch and intensity of sound. She keeps alternating between her mouth and Malik's, pausing when it's Malik's turn to see if he'll imitate the sound. Although Malik doesn't make the sound, he does continue to stick his tongue out, so Mom decides to vary the game and sticks her tongue out to wiggle back and forth while saying, "Ah." She's added a different action to see how Malik will respond. He continues to stare intently at Mom's face and show interest in the game. He sticks his tongue out again. Mom takes a turn wiggling her tongue, and he repeats it. She adds an "ah" sound to her tongue movement, and he puts his tongue out again and makes a little noise. She is very excited about this development. She decides to practice these mouth games in other caregiving activities when Malik and she can be face-to-face, such as diapering and meals. Within a few days, he is reliably imitating her when she sticks out her tongue. We also encouraged my son to speak by using animal sounds. It's easy to make the noises fun, and they seem relatively easy to repeat. So playing animal noise games with a farm was a big part of our early attempts to encourage his speech. Step 2. Imitating actions on objects. Rationale. Imitating your child's actions with objects draws your child's attention to what you are doing, gives you a specific vocabulary of objects and actions for narrating your child's activity, and gives your child the sense of two people doing things together, that is, reciprocally. It takes turn-taking to another step, imitating. It should increase the amount of time your child spends on socially coordinated activities, and will most likely increase your child's motivation to imitate your actions. Research by One of Us authors, G.D., found that when parents imitate what their children are doing, children with autism start making more eye contact and smile at their parents more often during the imitative play. The children notice that their parents are imitating them and enjoy this game. Imitating your child's actions with objects can also increase the flexible, creative, and varied nature of your child's play. Our goal in this step is for children with ASD to pay attention not only to the objects we're holding, but more importantly, to what we do with them. Teaching them to imitate others gives them ways to learn on their own, and it also allows us to teach new skills through modeling, so we can provide them with new ways to play with objects and expand their repertoire of ideas and actions. Here are some activities for increasing your child's imitation of actions performed on objects. Activity. Use matching, identical, or very similar toys, or multiple pieces of toys, to teach your child to imitate new actions quickly and easily. For this first activity, You will need some matching sets of objects available during various activities. Make sure that you are right in front of your child and that your objects are positioned in front of her matching objects. Note that how quickly you move through the sequence of steps involving imitating your child will depend on how your child responds to each of the steps. If he quickly engages, watches you imitate, and begins imitating your actions, you could move through each of these steps in your first session trying it. However, if your child doesn't watch you or doesn't readily imitate the actions you introduce, spend more time on each step, at least a day, if not longer, until you see the response you want before moving on to the next step. Here is the sequence for using matching or multiple piece toys. Begin by imitating your child's actions with your own materials and labeling the objects and actions your child is using. For example, if your child is rolling a car back and forth, you would roll your car back and forth exactly as your child is doing it. When your child stops rolling his car, stop yours too. When he begins again, you begin again too. Your child is likely to start experimenting to see if he can get you to do whatever he is doing. He may smile and may even make eye contact, clearly enjoying the game and the power he has in making you do whatever he does. After you have imitated your child's actions precisely for a while, introduce a variation on the action you are performing. For example, you could roll the car more quickly or slowly, or roll the car on your body instead of the floor, and so on. Pause and wait expectantly and see if she will spontaneously begin to imitate these new variations. All the while, remember to label the actions. Car is rolling. Car is rolling fast. Car is rolling slowly. Car crashes. After you have gone back and forth a few times, imitating your child by using the action he is doing, or a variation on that action, change your action to a different one, of about the same difficulty level, and show your child your new action in a big display. Ideally, you would start by introducing another action that you have already seen your child perform with the object. For example, if you have previously seen your child both roll and bang a car, and you have been imitating your child rolling the car, you could start to bang it. Label the action, bang, bang, and repeat it a couple of times. If your child is interested in what you are doing, wait expectantly and see if your child imitates the action you introduced. If not, help prompt him to copy you. To prompt him to perform a new action with the toy, gently guide him through the new movement with your hand over his hand. Once the child has made the new action, praise your child enthusiastically and let your child do what she wants to do for a minute with the toy. Imitate your child a few times and then show the new action again. Again, make a big display. Wait for your child to imitate you, prompt her to do so if needed, praise, and then let your child have control of the materials for a few minutes. This is the basic learning frame for teaching imitation of actions on objects. Activity. Use double sets of toys. Here are some ideas for using double sets of toys to teach imitation. Sets of musical instruments, such as two drums and two pairs of sticks, or two sets of maracas, can be used in fun activities with different actions to teach your child to imitate. Follow your child's actions for a few repetitions and then model something different. Or, You can begin the game by tapping your drum with your sticks or shaking your maracas. And if your child doesn't naturally join in, then help him imitate the action. Take your turn again, making sure to add language, sound effects, or even a song. Then pause and encourage your child to carry out the action. Try to wait a second or two to see if your child will copy you. If he doesn't do it, prompt him to imitate. Cheer him, and then after the imitation, let your child play as he wishes for a few minutes. Another way, useful for introducing a new instrument, is for you to hold on to both sets of items and model for your child how to use the instrument. Be sure you are demonstrating an action you know your child can do. Then hand the matching instrument to your child for her to imitate. The reinforcer here is the interesting sound the instrument makes. If she does not try to imitate you quickly, prompt her to do so. If she tries but can't quite do it, help her complete the imitation. Comment enthusiastically, that is, "You banged it!" and do the action again. Keep taking turns, and when these actions become a little repetitive or dull, switch it up. Bang the drum with your hand instead of the sticks, or use the maracas to bang on the floor. Then continue the turn-taking to help your child imitate these new actions. Toys with multiple pieces, like trains, blocks, balls, or puzzles, can also be used to teach object imitation. You may need to limit the pieces to just a few at first to help your child focus his attention on you. See what action your child does with the item first, and then imitate it back with your object, adding simple language to narrate the activity. After a few rounds of imitating your child's actions, elaborate or vary the activity by now showing your child something new to do with the object. For example, your train can crash into your child's or fall off the track. You might need to repeat your action a couple of times and make a big display to help your child appreciate the fun factor. Then pause, wait, and if needed, help your child imitate the action. He crashes his train into yours or knocks a train off the track. Go back then to the original action your child was doing with the object, if this is needed, to maintain interest and attention, and after a few rounds, model the new action again and help your child imitate it. Follow this formula of imitating your child's preferred action, then showing your new action. And it can be different things, crashing, rolling, circling the train, and helping your child quickly imitate it. Expand beyond playtimes. Imitation with objects is an activity that can occur any time your child is holding an object. There are lots of opportunities for imitating your child at mealtimes. Taking bites with spoon, using hands, drinking from a cup, banging a spoon on a tray, etc. Children are also often vocal at mealtimes, so there should be opportunities to imitate your child's sounds as well. Bath time offers lots of opportunities too. Activities with bath toys, as well as activities with water, splashing, pouring, bubbles, washcloths. Toddler books that elicit actions, holes to poke in, doors to open, etc., can also be used. Helpful tips. What if your child wants your toy? No problem. Hand it over and pick up another, or trade yours for his. What if your child is so focused on her own toys that she does not pay attention to your toy? You can try spending more time precisely imitating what your child is doing. Most kids, over time, will be interested in the fact that you are copying them and will start to notice what you are doing with your toy. Give your child more time to learn about the mutual imitation game. You can also put your own toys away and take turns using your child's object to imitate each other back and forth. So, for example, you would take the object from your child, briefly imitate her, and then give it back for your child to do. In your own turns, alternate between two or three rounds of imitating your child's action to keep it fun and motivating, and modeling a new action for your child to imitate with your help if needed. Be aware of how many turns you take. Keep them balanced with your child's, as well as the length of your turn, short. If your child likes the effects you are creating, then you have more leeway to take more frequent turns. If not, keep your turns short. Keep the turns balanced, and be sure to imitate what your child does often to keep the child engaged in the activity. This type of activity worked really well for us. My son loved seeing new, fun things to do with his cars, like racing them fast up the sides of furniture or crashing them down again. Because he thought the activities were fun, he was very interested in copying them. Helpful tip. Read toddler books in simple language. Label actions and objects. Don't try to read whole sentences to children who don't yet speak. They will get more from the book if you label what they are looking at and doing. Summary of Step 2. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have found ways to use toys and household objects to imitate your child and to begin teaching your child how to imitate your actions with objects. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, you are now armed with important skills for teaching imitation of new actions to your child, knowledge you will use in Step 3. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist: Imitating Actions with Objects. There are double sets of toys or multiple objects that I can use with my child. I frequently imitate my child's actions with objects. I sometimes model variations on my child's actions as well as different actions in play and prompt my child to imitate my actions on objects. My child and I can trade an object back and forth when we are taking turns with it. I am aware of my child's attention to my actions and can feel when I can take longer turns and when I need to keep my turns very short. I have found opportunities to imitate my child across most of our daily activities. It feels almost automatic now to do so. What about Claire? Claire's dad has continued to make animals out of Play-Doh to work on Claire's vocal imitation skills. Her favorite animals to make are a dog, cat, and cow, and she will now attempt to imitate sounds back. Claire's dad would like to help her learn to use objects during the Play-Doh routines instead of just watching him. So he sets out a few different utensils, pizza cutter, rolling pin, and fork, next to the dough and cookie cutters. He knows that Claire will be more likely to imitate new actions if they are part of her favorite game, watching Dad make animals. He makes an animal, and when Claire shows that she is ready for the next one, Dad takes out the rolling pin and smooths out the dough. Then he takes the cow-shaped cookie cutter and hands it to her, helps her make the cow, and then makes the animal noise she loves. He rolls out the dough again and offers her the cat. She takes it and moves it to the dough. He quickly gives her hand a little push so the cutter goes in, and then he pulls out the cat and makes that noise. They continue with the game, with Claire now putting the cutters onto the dough when he gives her one. In the next few days, he will help her add the rolling pin step to the routine. What about Malik? Remember Malik? He's the little boy who tends to mouth objects rather than playing with them, and his mom has been practicing mouth games to encourage sounds from Malik. So far, Mom has found that the game helps Malik make b, oo, and ah sounds. Even though Malik doesn't play with objects, Mom hates to skip over this step. After Mom thinks about it, she decides that using one toy to take turns with rather than double sets may minimize Malik's mouthing on objects and possibly help him learn how to imitate actions. Mom considers different toys to use and decides that if a toy does something when pushed or pulled, it might captivate Malik enough not to want to chew on it. She takes out a rocket toy. When she pushes its button, a circle spins from its top and lands on the floor. Mom sets the rocket on the floor between her and Malik. She tells him, "Watch this. Push." Meanwhile, the circle shoots straight up and lands a few feet from Malik. Mom says, "Let's get it," and takes him by the hand to pick up the circle and set it on the top of the rocket. Again, Mom says, "Watch this. Push," and sets the circle off into the air. This time, Mom points to where the circle landed and tells Malik, "You get it." Malik looks at the circle, but doesn't get up immediately. Instead of getting up herself, Mom waits and encourages Malik to pick up the circle by pointing toward the circle and saying again, "You get it." This time, Malik gets the circle, but doesn't take it over to Mom. However, he doesn't put it in his mouth either, so this is an improvement. Mom moves the rocket closer to Malik and says, "Put on," referring to the circle. She then helps Malik with the action and next tells him, "Push," as she helps him launch the circle. After it lands, Malik runs over to get the circle and brings it back to put on the rocket. Mom helps him, and together they push the button. They now have a turn-taking game with an object, and Mom never thought this would be possible. She's realized that using a toy that the two of them can take turns with and share may be the best strategy for building up his play repertoire, at least until he develops more skills. Mom is so excited about this development that she adds one new action to the game. She holds the circle up to her eye and says, "Boo, I see you," and then tickles Malik. He likes to be tickled and enjoys the variation to the game. Mom peeks through the circle the next time it lands on the floor and tickles him again. Then she helps Malik hold the circle up to his eye and says, "You see Mommy." Malik doesn't imitate this action yet by himself, but he stays involved with the activity and likes the action that follows, being tickled. So Mom decides to make tickling another action he can imitate back. Now they have multiple actions within a game with an object that Mom and Malik can do together. Step 3. Imitating hand gestures and body or facial movements. Rationale. At this point, you have developed interactive games for teaching your child to imitate sounds and actions with objects during various activities. The next step is to teach your child how to attend to and imitate the hand gestures and physical motions that are part of your songs and sensory social games. Remember that in Chapter 6, we talked about how to build fun little social routines with special actions and words. Peek-a-boo, so big, or songs with finger plays or other kinds of movements. Itsy Bitsy Spider, London Bridge, If You're Happy and You Know It. Now it's time to teach your child how to imitate some of the different gestures, body movements, and physical actions that you've been doing naturally during these routines. Practice the strategies presented next during familiar and pleasurable sensory social routines to teach your child to associate some of the words and rhythms of the songs and games with the important movements that are part of the game. For instance, the wheels on the bus is associated with the movement of twirling your arms. Peek-a-boo is associated with hiding your face behind your hands and then opening them when you say boo, and so on. Activity. Teach imitation during finger plays and songs with actions. Remember that up until now, you and your child have been participating in face-to-face social games in which you start a physical game, tickle, or sing a song, slippery fish, and gradually pause in mid-verse or before performing the action, waiting expectantly for your child to signal you to continue the game, saying tickle or looking up at you. You have been doing this for a while now, so it's likely that your child now easily communicates to tell you to continue or do it again with eyes, gestures, expressions, or sounds. Once your child is easily and frequently communicating this goal, you can begin to focus on teaching your child to imitate one of the key movements used in the song or game. Here is the sequence for teaching your child to imitate gestures, movements. Pick a favorite, well-practiced song or game, and then pick a movement that is very easy to do. Hands up, hands together, clap hands, etc., from a routine that your child really enjoys. Teach your child to imitate this gesture by starting the song. Then, when it is time for the gesture in the song, begin the gesture and then stop and help prompt your child to make the gesture. Prompting means giving your child some help in order to bring about the action you want him to perform. The prompt should be a gentle touch on the body part you want your child to use, touching the elbow to prompt raising hands in the air, or, if needed, physically guiding your child's body through the action, taking his hands and bringing them up in the air. Over time, the goal is to reduce the prompt gradually. For example, if you have been guiding your child's hands through the movement, you would start to fade the amount of guidance until you are only briefly touching his elbows to encourage him to raise his hands in the air or pointing toward his arms. Eventually, you want to remove the prompt altogether so your child will do it all by himself in imitation of you. Once your child has imitated the action with your help, continue the routine so that your child experiences the pleasure of the routine as the reward for imitating the movement. Try not to manipulate the child's hands after the first few prompts. Rather, prompt her from the wrist, arm, elbow, or shoulder so your child does not think that what is expected is to give you her hands for you to move. Always continue the song after the child has made the gesture, either with or without help. That is the reinforcer, or reward. Teach only one gesture at a time. For instance, if you are teaching Itsy Bitsy Spider, you might teach the spider gesture by having your child bring the fingers of both hands together several times. You would have your child imitate this gesture each time you do it. But you won't start teaching your child a second gesture, down came the rain, until he can produce the spider on his own. You will still sing the song and use all the gestures yourself every time, but you will teach your child one gesture at a time until your child produces some version of it independently, often and easily. Don't be a perfectionist. The sooner your child makes some gesture independently, the better. Don't be concerned if the gestures are partial, sloppy, or rough approximations at first. In the same way that you have encouraged your child to imitate vocalizations by responding to any sound, you want to encourage your child to imitate gestures by positively responding to any movement with the right body part first. For example, slightly wiggling fingers when you make the spider gesture. The gestures can get more exact later. Some gestures are used frequently in a lot of songs. For instance, hand claps figure in Patty Cake, Open Shut Them, and If You're Happy and You Know It. Once your child is beginning to imitate clapping hands in one of the songs, prompt her to do it in the other songs that use it too. The more imitation practice and use your child engages in, the better. Helpful tip. Be careful not just to move the child's body through the motions day after day. This does not teach imitation. You teach imitation by demonstrating the movements first, and then waiting for and encouraging your child to imitate you. If your child does not produce some version of the gesture, then physically help your child to do it. But give as little help as possible to get some version of the gesture, and give less and less help over time. This is called prompt fading. And it is really important to your child's learning to make the movements on his own. Making a sloppy imitation all by himself is much better for your child than making a perfect imitation because you have helped him. Here are some additional activities for developing gesture imitation. Add facial expressions. Smiles, pouts, fake crying, surprised faces to your sensory social routines. Exaggerate emotions to cue your child to pay attention to your face and encourage your child to imitate you. Obviously, you can't physically help your child make a smile or frown, but you can give the expression meaning with your language and actions. You can touch your child's face as a prompt, however. For facial imitations, you will need to use exaggerated and somewhat slowed-down movements. For instance, with a balloon or bubbles, get close to your child, on the floor, face to face. Puff your cheeks up really big and blow slowly and dramatically. This dramatic setup of the game tells your child what is coming and helps your child notice and read your nonverbal communications. However, it also puts your facial actions into your child's spotlight of attention. As your child comes to know the meaning of the action, pause while making it, model the action for your child, and wait to see if your child will imitate it to request the action. Again, at first, you don't expect exact imitations. If your child slightly opens his mouth when he sees you making the blowing gesture, that's terrific! 2-year-old Amber loves the balloon game. Her mom begins to blow up a balloon slowly and dramatically, and then takes her mouth off the balloon, looks at Amber, and makes the blowing gesture with big cheeks. She pauses, waiting expectantly to see if Amber will imitate the gesture. Whether Amber imitates or not, Mom says, "Blow balloon," puffs her cheeks dramatically, makes some blowing sound effects, and blows it again and lets it fly for Amber to chase. In a few days, Amber comes to expect the puffed cheeks and imitates the gesture approximately during the expectant waiting pause. In a few more days, she is also saying an approximate version of blow. Playing face imitation games in front of a big mirror often helps your child learn facial imitations like blowing, raspberries, making a popping sound with your lips, kissy faces, and the like, and becomes a very fun activity. Here are some ideas for using other daily activities to develop face and voice routines. During diaper changing, when your child is lying in front of you, focused on your face, is a great time to develop silly face and voice routines, like animal faces and calls, alphabet song or number songs, tongue wiggles, and raspberries. Put a kazoo on the changing table and use it to make silly noises while you change the diaper. This is also a time to buzz the belly, play creepy fingers or peekaboo, and so forth. Dressing also allows for peekaboo with shirts, sound effects for stinky shoes, stinky socks, stinky feet routines, buzzing bellies, this little piggy, and so on. Meal times also offer times for big face and voice effects. Yum faces and sounds for delicious foods. Yucky faces and sounds for food your child rejects. Drinking sounds and gestures. Eating sounds and gestures. Licking something good off a finger. Using your tongue on an ice cream or a peanut-buttered carrot. If your child is in a high chair and you are sitting pretty much in front of her, you are in the best possible position for drawing your child's attention to your face and voice. Label and react big time to unexpected events that happen during the day. Use a big "uh-oh" and a startled expression when something falls. Use "oh no" and a big expression when you build a tower and it falls. Use a big crash when cars crash. When your child gets hurt, say, "Owie, you got an owie," with a big expression as you examine the owie and give comfort. Then put a big noisy kiss on the owie with a big display of "all better." Caution. Imitating facial movements and sounds is a lot harder for young children with autism than imitating actions on objects is. You are likely to see your child imitate your actions on objects before she imitates body and facial movements or songs. Don't worry about this. It's the usual way that imitation develops in most young children with ASD. Just keep the various sensory social routines up, adding new ones each week, keeping up the old ones, and sooner or later, your child will start to imitate some actions or sounds in them. Don't forget to expect that your child will imitate these someday. Continue to wait, help your child imitate, and then continue the fun game. Summary of Step 3. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have found gestures, body movements, and maybe some facial expressions that you are helping your child to imitate during sensory social routines and daily activities. See if you agree with most of the statements in the following checklist. If so, You are now armed with important skills for varying imitation inside toy and social games, knowledge you will use in step 4. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity checklist. Am I helping my child imitate gestures, body movements, and facial expressions? I have found sensory social routines and songs that make my child smile. My child easily signals me during his or her turn to continue sensory social and song routines. I know at least one gesture or body movement in each sensory, social, and song routine that I can teach my child to imitate. I know how to add facial expressions and sound effects to sensory, social, and song routines and daily routines for my child to observe. I know how to pause and wait for my child to imitate the action without my help. I know when to physically help or prompt my child to imitate the action. What about Malik? Mom has a few songs she sings to Malik, Twinkle Twinkle Little Star and Open Shut Them, every day during dressing, diapering, and bath time. Mom begins singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star while opening and closing her fingers during each verse. She decides that this might be a relatively easy gesture for Malik to learn how to imitate. After singing the song in its entirety one time through, she starts the song again and pauses at the end of the first line with her hands open and out in front of her. Mom waits to see if Malik will move his hands in some tendency to imitate hers. Lift up his hands, reach his hands toward Mom's, open and or close his hands, etc. He doesn't do any of these movements, but continues to look at her with great interest. Mom takes her hands and pats her palms against his palms several times. Then she continues the song. When she gets to the end of the song, where the words Twinkle Twinkle Little Star are repeated, she again lifts her open hands in front of him and waits for him to pat hers. When he does not, she opens his palms and pats them with hers. For the next few days, she does this repeatedly, and within a few days, Malik reaches his palms to hers when she puts her hands in front of him. Mom is thrilled and pats his palms a couple of times as she sings the line. Over the next few days, he not only reaches to her palm, but also starts to pat. She's ecstatic that he's trying on his own to imitate a new gesture, even if it's not perfect. He is really learning. Step 4. Imitating and expanding on actions. Rationale. Developing variations in the imitative turn-taking games keeps the games interesting and less repetitious for longer periods of time. It supports your child's longer periods of attention to you. It also teaches your child to use objects in a variety of ways. This expands the number of things your child can do with objects and replaces repetitive play with flexible and more complex play with toys and social games. Each time your child imitates a new action, it makes future imitation easier and easier for your child and more automatic. Activity. Add variations. Once your child easily and consistently imitates a familiar action that you model, you can start expanding the actions so that the initial action or theme doesn't become boring or repetitive after a few turns for you or your child. Adding a variation often makes the imitation fun and surprising for your child. How will this look? Your first imitative action back and forth two or three times in the play establishes the theme, the main action. After this, you will introduce something new into the imitation, a variation, to keep it interesting and keep the turn going longer. In doing so, you will also teach a different action imitation, making the routine a little more advanced. Here are some ideas for introducing variations. Earlier, we talked about copying your child's use of an object to create a turn-taking imitation game. Once your child does this easily, copies you copying him, show your child a new, easy, and very interesting action to perform with the object. It might be showing your child how to stomp bubbles you've just blown, how to hit an inflated balloon up into the air, how to turn around while playing hokey pokey, or how to crash a car into a tower of blocks after building them. You model it first, then hand over the object to your child so he can imitate you. If your child doesn't begin to imitate, then prompt him to imitate you. Show enthusiasm for your child's success, and then let your child play with the object any way he wants to for a minute. Then repeat the whole sequence, modeling action one, giving your child the materials to imitate, then taking your turn and modeling action two, then giving your child the chance to do action two, and cheering or clapping and letting your child have the toy. The reinforcer for your child's imitation is to have the desired object for a bit without any demands. Of course, your happy cheers are also a big reward. Variations are often more interesting to your child if they involve simple but unusual and interesting actions on objects. Sticking a stick into a Play-Doh ball, tapping a shaker with a stick, or putting a ball in the bottom hole of a maze instead of the top. You will teach your child to imitate these new actions in exactly the same way we have discussed before. Showing your child while labeling your act, waiting expectantly, prompting if needed, cheering your child for trying to imitate, or helping your child to imitate if she doesn't try, and then cheering. Excellent materials for working on theme and variations include Play-Doh, art activities, musical toys, and complex arrays of things. Train tracks and cars, sets of blocks, building sets, and pretend play props like glasses, hats, necklaces, bracelets, brush, comb, etc. Theme and variation imitative play is a great way to introduce new toys or objects for which the child has no set ways of playing, so that everything you model will be new. Materials that don't work well for teaching new object imitations are those that the child has a very set and repetitive way of handling. Summary of Step 4. If you have followed along and carried out the preceding activities, you will have developed all of the stages or steps in how to teach different kinds of imitation, verbal, actions with objects, gestures, body movements, facial expressions, to your child in toy play and sensory social routines. You know how to take turns with your child and develop an initial theme for imitating one action, and after several rounds, you know how to vary or expand the activity to include other types of imitation that your child can do. If so, you are now armed with important skills for taking turns and teaching during joint activities. If not, start experimenting during play and caregiving routines until you have found some methods that work for each statement. Activity Checklist. Am I expanding my child's imitation? I know how to develop a theme during imitation with my child during toy play and sensory social routines. My child can easily imitate at least one kind